Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley joins us today. Andrew, welcome again to Basic Gospel.
Hey, great to be here, Bob. Thanks.
Well, as always, as you know from our discussion yesterday, sanctification is our topic for the month. It's an exciting word. It's not one that we use very often in everyday language. But boy, when you dive in and really see the meaning and see what Christ has accomplished for you, sanctification is just huge. It's something that puts that attitude of gratefulness in your heart for what the Lord has done. And we're going to read today, I think, one of your favorite passages, Andrew, out of the book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 13, verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy, or to sanctify the people through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Why is that one of your favorite passages, Andrew?
Well, I just love the fact that you've got something going on inside the city, which you could say was the religion of that day, namely Judaism. There were animal sacrifices being offered. The temple was up and running, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the religious scholars and experts would flood that temple once a year for the Day of Atonement, and they would go in and worship and offer sacrifices. You know, and throughout the year, they were observing temple practices, and suddenly all of that gets turned upside down, and now there is a man who was crucified, and then his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection basically renders all of those temple works and all of those religious practices that were happening within the city walls, they are now obsolete, and they are useless in terms of making you righteous. They are useless in terms of setting you apart. And now there's a new way, a new covenant, a new high priest. And so when we get to this passage, Bob, and it says, so let us go out to him outside the camp, outside the city gate. I just love that verbiage there, because it reminds me that this message is not going to be widely accepted by the religious elite. This message, we may end up bearing reproach. We may end up bearing criticism. We may, this message very much can find a rejection in the religious world, because when it's centered on Jesus and it's not centered on me and my works and my religious hoops that I'm jumping through at a so-called temple, then it's going to be rejected by the establishment. But that's been true for 2,000 years, and it's true today. And nevertheless, despite the rejection, we get to come back and look at the reality that Jesus has set us apart by his work on Calvary through the resurrection. The blood and the resurrection have made us clean and close and reserved for him. And you talk about an identity. I mean, Bob, we are owned, we are possessed, we are part of God's family, owned and possessed by the God of the universe himself. He calls us his own, and that's a real set-apartedness that we can hang on to forever.
Now, one of the problems, Andrew, and a problem that's been going on for 2,000 years, is trying to mix, the old with the new. And I think in this passage, what you're talking about is the fact that we can't mix those. And sometimes, we want to take the positive things that are being said in the quote establishment and try to mix them over here with the pure message of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ, and we really get confused. So I think this imagery of going outside of the city gates to what God is doing in Christ through the shed blood is so vitally important to recognize that we've been set apart from, you know, that old religious system so that we can experience true family and true love with Christ. Talk a little bit about how we mix messages in today's culture and religious culture.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're dressing things up in religious clothing, and it's kind of like we really need to strip all that away and get back to the core message. I mean, people are identifying themselves by where they sit for an hour a week. Oh, you know, I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist. Why? Well, because I go to a church building called that. Well, how long are you there? Well, I'm there about an hour, hour and 10 minutes a week. So, you know, we end up defining ourselves by the denomination we grew up in, the denomination of our family, our lineage, our heritage, where we sit for an hour a week. And, you know, there's a lot of great churches out there that are proclaiming the gospel, but none of us should get an identity from a church building. We should get our identity from the fact that we are the church. We are the building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit himself, and we're children of God. That's our core identity. And so the way that we mix things, Bob, I think, is that, you know, we say, I'll take Jesus for salvation, and I'll take Jesus as my ticket to heaven, but then I've got to follow the rules of the establishment. You know, I was talking with someone last Sunday in our church. They said they had come out of a church where they had served on the rules committee, and their whole committee was designed to set and establish the rules for that church and for that denomination. And he kind of chuckled looking back at it, realizing that, you know, that's not very different from what the Pharisees were doing. It's high time that the church today not put our confidence in a building, not put our confidence in a lineage or heritage that some denomination, not put our confidence in rules, and not be mixing those things with Jesus. We need to put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he dwells within us, and he is enough. He is our everything.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We welcome you to the program as well. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. If you have a question about, you know, mixing the messages of the world with the good news of Jesus Christ, or mixing the messages of religion with the good news of Jesus Christ, how to, you know, break through that confusion and come to the purity of the gospel, we would love to talk with you about that on today's broadcast. Again, the number 844-322-2742. If you have any other issues going on in life, we would love to hear from you right now. Andrew, what you were talking about there, being set apart from the world system, being set apart from the religious system, it takes courage to kind of live that out. But when you do, you really become a standout person in this world. You are showing forth an alternative, something that is far better than what the world has to offer. And it's this life of Christ that's being lived out through you. And we have a wonderful resource to help people really understand what that looks like in day-to-day life. It's called Against the Current, How to Be a Standout Person in a Broken World. And we want to put that resource into your hands. I think it will be a wonderful encouragement to you, will help you in your personal walk with Christ Jesus. It's available for a gift of $20 or more to Basic Gospel this month. It's our way of saying thank you for helping us continue to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ. All the information on how you can request your copy is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Take advantage of this wonderful resource. Once you work through it, then share it with a friend or a loved one and be an encouragement to them as well. Again, the resource is Against the Current, How to Be a Standout Person in a Broken World. It's available for a gift of $20 this month, the Basic Gospel. Check it out at basicgospel.net. We're going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Russell listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Russell.
Hi, good afternoon, brothers. I'm so thankful that I can get through. This has been a question that's been really pressing on my mind for quite some time. I'm in a small ministry here, and we went through a transition phase about 5-6 years ago. Our pastor now, he came in from a secular management, and he brought along with him a lot of secular rules and incorporated them within the church. To me, who hasn't been in church for very long, I was sort of walking the tightrope on this. But after hearing this today, I really have to give you guys some call to get some knowledge on this, because it really, really opened my eyes to another level.
Well, Russell, what's an example of one of these rules that's been incorporated into the church? An example of a rule that's been concerning you?
Well, it was pretty blatant. It got as far as you were mandatory to attend as a member. It was mandatory that you attend, I think it was six to eight Tuesday night prayer meetings, if not, you will be expelled as a member. That's one of the things that really, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's a good example. I appreciate you sharing that, because it really gives us a feel for the type of atmosphere that's being fostered there. I mean, you know, prayer is talking to your Heavenly Father. And can you imagine you saying to your own natural born children, you know, I'm going to require you to talk to me 6 to 8 times, and I'm going to mandate that this quantity of utterances, this quantity of communications happen. I think your kids would react to that, and it wouldn't be positive. See, when someone tells me I have to do something, my immediate assumption is that, well, maybe I don't want to do this, and so that's why it has to be legislated. That's why it has to be mandated, because otherwise nobody would really want to do it. And so, you know, this can happen. People feel pressure sometimes in campus ministries, if they're in the university or in youth groups, this sometimes happens. You know, you've got to have your quiet time. If you don't have it 5 days a week, and boy, if you could have it at 6 a.m., it would really work. And then you got to be in church every Sunday and Wednesdays too. And as you said, Tuesday prayer nights. And, you know, people start to feel pressure, and they start operating out of have-tos instead of want-tos. And so, you know, let's call prayer what it is. It's talking to God. I don't have to be legislated or mandated to talk to my Heavenly Father.
There are other things, too, that went along with that. You know, tithes, I understand tithes and offerings, but, you know, when they feel the financial crunch, they would mandate that the members come up with a special donation of funds. There was always the penalties.
So there's an underlying issue.
You get reprimanded from the pulpit.
Yeah. So these are symptoms, okay? I'm going to mandate that you have to give. I'm going to mandate that you have to attend. I'm going to mandate that you have to pray. These are symptoms of a deeper problem, and it's not just one congregation somewhere. It is rampant throughout the Christian world. We need to come back to the place of, wait a minute, I'm supposed to live and give from the heart, not under pressure, not under compulsion. And the grace living is the same as the grace giving, and we need to trust the new heart that we have in Christ. And you know, Bob, when we don't trust the heart that we've been given, and when we don't trust freedom and trust God's grace, then what Russell is describing becomes the norm in churches across the world. If we're not really Christ-centered and saying, you know, Christ Jesus, you live in me. I'm going to trust you to motivate me to pray when I need to pray and give when I want to give and attend when I want to attend and be built up. I trust you. And when we lose sight of that, Bob, then everything becomes legislated.
Yeah, you know,
to make matters worse, you know, I have been sitting in the congregations where reprimands comes out on a Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
publicly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to two of y'all kind of go back and forth, my blood's kind of boiling a little bit. It's just ridiculous. Paul gave his life fighting for the freedom of believers. And when he saw just a speck of legalism, he attacked. Why? Because if somebody just gets a speck of legalism, that's going to grow through the whole church. And then that's going to be the culture. And it's going to be a culture of fear and judgment and pointing fingers and reprimands and all of those things that is so far opposite of the love of God. This gospel message allows you to treat one another with the love of God in the same way that God has treated you. So from the pulpit, the message needs to be simply the grace of God and teaching people how to abide and trust the living Christ. You don't teach results. You don't teach expectations. You teach Jesus, period, end of story. And when you teach Jesus, you're going to see the culture that Jesus wants to bring about, a culture of love, no fear, no judgment, no condemnation, no expectations, just simply resting in Christ and watching him do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. So these church membership things, I've visited churches like probably 15 or 20 different churches over the last year, and boy, they just put up those expectations, and it's just another form of legalism, and we got to get back to Jesus. Andrew, we had Phil Cook on the program not too long ago, and Phil is an observer of all things, you know, Christian in the world today, and he made this comment last year in the United States of America. We brought in 85,000 new regulations. So what does that tell us about our problem solving? If there's a problem, we immediately turn to legislation, regulation. And we're seeing that in the church as well. If there's a problem, if church attendance isn't what we think it should be, if giving isn't what we think it should be, we immediately turn to rules, to regulations, to new expectations, to try to guilt people into raising their game, so to speak. And we have to do away with that. That is not the way of God, not the way of grace, not the way of Jesus at all. Either we're going to learn to trust Jesus or we're not.
Mm-hmm. It starts with pastors. It starts with pastors and leaders, elders, deacons, people that set the tone and the atmosphere in these places of worship. And, you know, Bob, it's not just about let's move toward a generic sense of grace. We need to understand, leaders, pastors, elders, deacons need to understand that when a church is full of people that have new hearts, when a church is full of people that have Christ living in them, then those people can be trusted. They can be released. They can be given freedom. We don't have to hold people hostage. We don't have to manipulate people. We don't have to extort from people. We don't have to do any of those control tactics, because we can decide, wait a minute, you know, they don't have wicked, wicked hearts like I once thought they did. They've got new hearts, resurrection hearts. They've got Christ living in their heart. And if Christ is really the head of the church, then I'm going to let the head be the head, and I'm not going to try to control the outcome.
Yes, indeed. Russell, does that help? Does that answer your question for you?
That helps tremendously. Tremendously. Very broad. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for your call, Russell. Outstanding question, and it's a topic we need to address just every day, isn't it, Andrew? I mean, that's not something that we can just, you know, hit the one time and then go on to something else. I mean, that really is the problem in America as far as the church is concerned. That's why we're anemic. That's why we have no voice within the culture today, is because the voice that we're bringing is the same voice that the world has, one of condemnation, judgment, rule-making, law-making, all of those sort of things. We need to bring a voice of love to the mix, and we can only do that when we know the love of Christ that's been extended to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So,
You know, I think we have to come back to, you know, the tagline, the theme of this ministry, the focus of it, hear it, believe it, live it, because, you know, we're trying to get people to live it. You know, you got to live it. You have to live it. And we're skipping the hear it and believe it. And so, you know, we need to understand, I mean, this idea of us being led by God's grace, it's not just some doctrine. It's not some modern movement. It's not some trend of today. I mean, this is 2,000 plus years old, and God has always wanted this to be our motivation. And so when we change what we believe and we start investing in the true gospel, letting Jesus Christ be our everything, and once we start believing that he is enough, then this affects how we live. It affects the tone in our church. When you get out the spiritual barometer and you start looking at the pressure within a given church, I mean, you know, the fact that you are grace-based and Christ-centered, that is going to bring liberty and freedom and joy and peace to a congregation. And, you know, when a congregation is filled with nothing but pressure and guilt and manipulation, then you have to ask, well, how do we fix this? It doesn't get fixed by just changing policies. It gets fixed when we change what we actually believe and start putting our confidence back into the Son of God, not just for heaven, but for daily living, for inspiration, for motivation. Christ living in us really is enough.
Our hope of glory indeed. Well, let's go to Pete in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Pete, what's your question today?
Yeah, it's like when we say church, I believe, it's not like, it's assembling together. Like when you say church, when people say church, it's like going to the building. You know what I'm saying? It's like the building. We're tithing to the build. It's the money could be used so for the poor. I mean, we don't need to have all of this exclusive. You know, we assemble together. We should know each other as brothers and sisters, not just go to the building and say, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah.
It's just. It's
yeah. You're right.
I mean,
you're right,
if you go to Acts, it's a different context. It was a different way back then. But I think they sort of got it right in second. You know what I mean? It's a different, I understand this is, it's a different world nowadays. But
Really?
But, I mean,
well, Pete, we're almost out,
we're out of time.
Andrew, comment on that real quickly.
Yeah, well, I think he's hit on something. I mean, when you go from 50 members to 100 members, which was what it was 2,000 years ago, and then you try to have 2,000 or 10,000 under the same roof, then you've got mortgages and you've got debt and you've got an enormous overhead, and then the pressure comes in to meet that standard and meet that budget and fulfill those expectations, and then there's so many programs. You know, the structure is not the important thing. Big or small, medium size, whatever it might be, the size of a congregation doesn't matter. We are the church, and the focus should be on Jesus Christ, not on programs, not on budgets. The focus should be on Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of this particular broadcast. We're here to talk about Jesus, to lift up his name, to tell folks about how he sanctified us through his shed blood so that we could actually live as he intended us to live by faith in Christ himself, the resurrected one who lives in each and every one of us who have come to faith in him. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll be back for another edition, and tomorrow we'll see you then. Thank you.